And as Natasha lay there, the sheets draped across her, she smiled as her whole body, the whole room, quaked just a little bit.
My God, Zach, that was the most disgusting piece of fan fiction I have ever heard. There is no possible way we are airing that smut. We are here to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now let's never speak of this again.
I liked it.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. We are here to... because it's the Space Jam. I do just kind of want to dance to this every time I hear it.
Look, we're in space now for some reason. We're going to jam.
Is it space or is it time travel?
It's both.
Traveling
through space is traveling through time. Everyone knows
that. Oh,
don't
well
science
said
me, Jesse.
I apologize.
Well, hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Seasons 5, Episodes 1 and 2, Orientation. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Long time no see. Super excited to talk about this. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
To his left, Taran.
I'm not on board with anything that just happened. You guys really just stopped my fan fiction, which I thought was brilliant. That was excellent, by the way. That I feel the quake shuddered. But I am Taran, literally at I am Taran all across the board. Please find me on social media and Twitter, and never play the Space Jam theme song again.
How dare! We will do no such thing. And to his left, Zach Wilson!
Yeah, I'm here jamming out, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, all the places at that Zach Wilson. It's playing again. I'm excited to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. is back,
yes. It's been ages, guys, and we are so, so excited. Zach has you guys covered on the live chat, but we are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, and I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me directly at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. For those of you watching on YouTube, you know, we are now over on the AfterBuzz Sci-Fi Superhero Channel, and for those of you guys listening on iTunes, you might have noticed that our iTunes feed name has changed. So if you guys are looking for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show, don't type in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. What you should type in is Marvel TV Weekly. That is where you can find our new feed.
Or go to the AfterBuzz TV page on iTunes, and you can find everything under that.
The show we just watched was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I
thought some of the people were familiar, and of course, I could recognize Daisy anywhere. But
you didn't call her Sky.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, he's like, literally, the first time she's on screen, he's like, I love you, Daisy.
His point is there because, like, I'm just going to say it off the top. This doesn't feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, the seasons with Sky running around, like, that feels like a completely different show.
I used to love
from
that.
What we just watched.
Yeah, we've definitely come a long way. We went from, you know, fighting aliens in a secluded place in Tibet to a fake digital world, and now we're just in space. Space that has a fake digital world inside of it.
So we've been to an alien planet. Yes. We've been into digital world. Yeah. We've dealt with aliens. So really, yeah, we're just shoving it all together.
Now, yeah, Here's the question, though. Since it doesn't feel much like an espionage show at the moment, do we feel like this step forward literally into the future feels like a natural progression of the show? Or do we feel like that's as a result of the budgetary constraints that have been forced upon the show?
Well, I think, as Matt kindly pointed out, it's the only thing we haven't done yet.
Yeah. So,
that makes
and
sense.
While we're talking about budgetary constraints, I noticed a lot of special effects in this episode.
Yeah.
Plus, the script writing is much better. Not that it wasn't good before, but this episode, the script writing was almost flawless. I was very appreciative of the humor and the insight that was placed in it. It had some rom-com. It had some drama. It had some V for V for Vendetta. It had political takes on things, and I thought it was brilliant.
I think, yeah. Tehran, I think you. I feel like every new character we were introduced to, you instantly fell in love with.
Cassius is now my new favorite. I just enjoyed, but it was like every villain was a Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey. Like no one else felt like this is. Especially in modern day, with everything going on, there was so much sexual harassment going on.
It was pretty creepy. It was pretty creepy.
That's a good policy.
That's the way you should be.
Yeah. Jesse, you were about to chime in.
Well, we were talking about the budget. Yeah, I mean, this was a two-hour show, and we maybe had five locations total. Like, everything is shot in a studio or on screen. Like, this is a way cheaper show than it's ever been. Like, there was a lot of CGI, but CGI is relatively cheap. Instead of having to go and book a location and shoot, like, you know, there were episodes and seasons.
Especially in
Los
Angeles.
Really tell that to Thor Ragnarok. That was costly and it was CGI.
Yeah, but the parts that were not CGI were costly. The CGI in general, like, the level of CGI in this, like, is cheaper.
Putting
like,
in one creature as opposed to creating a whole world yeah. is a different story. So, like, this is clearly, I don't know if this is an intentional, like, budget-saving measure.
It's got to be.
But it is definitely it's a different feel for the show, and I gotta be honest, like, I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with it yet. Like, I agree with Tehran, like, the script is there, like, the writing yeah. is still as good as it ever was.
It's better.
But the story right now, like, where we are, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been a spy show.
And they're not spies right like, now. They're not acting like spies.
And I also don't know why they're here. Like, this was an outside force just like deciding that we're gonna just shove these people into the future, and it because we have nothing to go on in yeah. terms of why we got sent here. I'm having trouble.
Show, Zach.
I'm having trouble investing in yeah. anything that's happening.
I have a feeling in like three or four episodes, or maybe like when we get the Fitz episode, like we see yeah. like what Fitz is doing in the past. And, like, I think if the writers do something really cool where it's, like, there are things that are changing currently in the future, like, all of a sudden, like, there are people helping them out, and they figure out that it's, like, Fitz who's affecting the past to, like, help them in the future. Like, I think that'd be really fun.
I think we get programmed Fitz, like, in the framework. Like, yeah. a hard... Like, so they said they had to rebuild the software, but there's, like, a hardware or, like, a firmware Fitz, like, that's just hard-coded into the framework.
It'd be great.
And he's going to pop up, like, Daisy, you've got to...
like, I think as soon as we get, like, context, it will help more. But, yeah, us, much like the agents, we got dropped in the middle of the story.
Very much so.
Without knowing really what's going on.
And let's talk about this cold open a little bit, where mm-hmm. we get who on IMDb he's listed as the silhouetted man, going through an extended pool montage, and then
God, talking heads too. I mean, if that's all their budget was on talking heads, I'm okay with it.
The chat, I really like. Like, is the talking heads intro theme a MODOK reference?
I hope so, chat.
Graham Mosquita yeah. said that, and I'm on board.
Okay, so we know for a fact that Enoch isn't human. He literally pulled off his skin before he launched all of our heroes into the future with this, I guess, time portal monolith.
Yeah.
Now, and also on IMDb, he is named Enoch. And there are a couple different Enochs in the Marvel, or not necessarily in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but in the Marvel Universe at large. Yeah. Do we have any idea who this guy might be or how significant he is?
It sounds familiar to me, but I'll have to do some Google foo later on to yeah. try and figure out. Because Enoch seems like a super, like, specific Marvel name.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are like in the Marvel universe. They're all one-shot characters that yeah. have. There's like a weird scientist that was in one issue of one of like Journey into Mystery yeah. who like created a dimensional travel device, which lines up, but like there's no reason. Yeah. There's not. Yeah. He's not an alien. Yeah. Like,
and then
who has to like put his skin on the ground?
Yeah. Yeah. There's one that's in the in more of like the X-Men sort of thing where he's like a goat man, and that sort of fits with not being human, but at the same time, what that has to do with time travel
but the,
eludes
but why
me.
Why have we decided Enoch's not human?
Because he ripped off his skin before he took a shower.
He put his clothes away, and then he's like, well, this suit.
He could have powers.
It's not he could be an inhuman.
He could be an inhuman. We've seen this before. It's not like...
That's very true.
He didn't do anything. He did something sinister in Vision, no. But it wasn't...
He could very well be just an inhuman who happened to, you know, get the short end of the stick when it came to his Terrigenesis transformation. Yeah. Who knows? That still doesn't answer the question of who he's working
for. I do wonder if it's related to the biblical Enoch,
yeah,
who is an ancestor of Noah. And I'm using Wikipedia here, so like asterisks on all this information.
Take this with a grain of salt.
You haven't memorized the Old Testament?
But he's like said to have lived for like over 300 years, and the big quote is like, he walked with God and he was no more, for God took him. Which, if you read in, like, biblical sense, you're like, oh, he went to heaven. But if you read it in, like, a Marvel sense...
You're like, oh.
Aliens done got that guy.
He took him to the future.
Okay, so we're going to go on a limb and say not this guy.
Yeah. Probably not this guy, but it's worth bringing up for sure. So we'll put a pin in Enoch for right now, because I'm sure this isn't the last we're seeing of him. I'm sure we'll see more when we get our Fitz episode. But our heroes get transported one by one through Monolith 2.0 to a space station called the Lighthouse, and that's where they meet Virgil and a couple other NPCs that totally get killed off by these creatures called roaches.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I like the look of the roaches, like as far as alien-esque creatures go that suck out your insides. Like, well, they're pretty cool looking.
The Vrelnexian are in the Marvel universe, and they kind of look like what they showed them. Yeah, they got like six legs, and they're kind of gray looking and weird. So, I mean, they kind of nailed that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing has a very like last couple seasons of Doctor Who vibe to
very
it. Like
Doctor
the,
Who, yeah.
Everything about the sets, these creatures.
Being in the future, the end of the world. Well,
yeah, the like random characters who are like, this is just the way society works in this part.
Everything taking place on one set.
Yeah. Let's hope that it's very Doctor Who-esque, because Doctor Who was on air for a very long time.
Yeah, sure.
And it doesn't seem like this show is going to be on air for a very long time.
Look, they're still watching Doctor Who on the Lighthouse station. They're
so
on like
excited.
The 80th Doctor.
And she's running around and having adventures, being great.
I like the Monolith tech. I like bringing that back, that's like a universal technology. I think that's really cool. And also really fun world building. We're like, oh, yeah, why wouldn't you have more than one teleportation stone like that? Like, it made sense to me.
So, if it's Kree, if it's still related to the Kree, so if we think, like, Enoch is probably Kree, although they have different methods for disguise than, like, a rubber suit.
Although, it's interesting that you guys bring that up, that there was a Kree thing, because the last time there was a monolith that we saw used in this show, it was for the Kree to just quietly put away Hive.
Yeah.
So it seems like they use monoliths to get rid of all of their problems.
But if Enoch is Kree, the god that the Krees worship is a giant talking head. So it brings the talking heads all the way back.
If we see Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah, if we see that.
Dear God.
That's fantastic.
I have to think they're holding that for a Captain Marvel, though.
That's got
to
be for Captain Marvel.
I would
Marvel.
Never think I would say this. I just hope it's MODOK, because that would just bother me. If you just write on that, it would just bother me.
That's got to be safe for Captain Marvel.
I think anything is fair game at this point, because, again, we haven't been given a ton of context. When we're transported onto the Lighthouse, Virgil doesn't get a chance to explain a whole lot before he is eaten by one of these roaches.
Actually, I realized that communication problems was the main problem of every human that was on the station.
Yeah.
They just didn't have an effective means of communicating with one another. Virgil took forever to just explain
he was
something
so starstruck.
That could have been special and simple and to the point. Like, hey, you're Coulson? Guess why I brought you here? Because this, and this happened, and now we need you to do this, this,
that
and
was,
this.
That he was a very screenwritery thing to do.
It was like, it's so very convenient.
And then Deke just wasn't able to communicate to May. Hey, May, I'm actually trying to help you.
Yeah.
Like, just simple communication things.
Talking about Deke, now I look at him, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about this guy, because I look at him, and I'm like, I like you, but you're also clearly very, like, a Han Solo-esque, where you're only looking out for yourself right now. Is anybody getting, like, a Star-Lord-esque kind of vibe from this guy?
Well, I mean, clearly they wanted you to think that, because his introduction was with...
Very much,
like,
the helmet.
Like,
that Ultraman-looking helmet.
The not Star-Lord leather jacket.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Rocketeer jacket for a minute.
In my notes, I was like, if this helmet dude ends up being Ward, I'm going to be so angry.
He's sort of like if Ward and Star-Lord had a really disappointing child.
Disappointed.
Although, he's smart. He's very smart.
Yeah. Resourceful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Well, and, like, can code and make fake universes.
From, like, again, like, the remnants of the world that was, and through him and Virgil and a couple other characters we meet, we basically find out that Earth in the future has been destroyed and is left as, like, this kind of weird crescent, shell of its
which
former
still
shell.
Had, like, either clouds or snow caps
yeah,
on it.
Which was weird. And I was like, why is there gravity there? Like, I didn't understand how any of it worked. May was basically in a Saw movie for the first half
Jeez,
of this show.
Yeah.
For the first hour, like, she gets teleported into a pole, and then immediately after...
Ripping it out of her, uses it as a weapon.
Yeah, but then immediately after, Deke cuts into her with a knife to put the what do you call it?
Metrics.
The metric in. And I was like, what is going on? How is May standing up right now?
And then later
and fighting,
in the episode,
fighting
yeah,
people.
She's got her leg wrapped up and she is kicking the crud out of somebody who decided to go all Hunger Games on everybody.
It's gonna be May.
Shh, don't think
about it. I'm just saying that's a testament to how awesome May is.
Yeah.
But talking about, again, to get back to Deke, now... Somebody brought up the possibility that maybe he's a descendant of Fitz. Now, how likely do we think that is? Do we think that's a likely sort of role for him to play, given that he was able to put the framework together? Or do we just think he's a smart person who's just tired of putting
life? Virgil.
I thought I got it backwards. I thought it was Virgil, and Jesse threw in that it was Deke.
Yeah. Just because he's, like, doing stuff with the framework.
The point is somebody's going to be related to Fitz.
There's got to be a Fitz child. And then again, like, then it's going to be, like, Simmons being like,
I don't think there's a Fitz child, because Fitz would only have a child with Simmons, and they didn't have a kid.
But how else do we get that postcard?
How do you know they didn't have a kid?
Because she can hold it to the future.
Yes,
so she couldn't have had a child.
But if she goes back into the past after this moment, then... She and Fitz can have a baby,
but don't
that goes to the future.
If that's true, then they have to go back, and still the world gets destroyed.
Yes,
now,
absolutely. Yeah.
Here's the question, guys, because we're dipping our toes into wibbly wobbly timey wimey sort of territory. In that, if our heroes do go back in time and save the Earth, then does this entire reality get destroyed?
They've already
as
destroyed
a result?
One reality,
or. Is it like, are we dealing with multiverse theory here? Which, either way, Marvel as a whole hasn't dealt with time travel as of yet, as of this
the
moment.
The MCU.
Yes. Yeah. The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, we did do time travel in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was mild. It wasn't like crazy, we're going back to 1920s time travel, but...
Even that, but they made it very clear that
it was isolated.
You do not mess with this.
Yeah.
And this is very taboo. You restrict it to a minimal as
taboo.
Much as you can.
I mean, if we're going with how the comic books work, Then it's both and neither, because they never answer the question ever.
It's whatever serves the story.
Yeah, I would assume. In the comics. I would assume that this is a multiple universe kind of thing, where there's one of many possibilities that will continue to exist in this terrible universe, at, no matter what they do in the past.
Yeah,
it's a branch.
But again, like, we don't know why. Like, without knowing why they're here, or even like a hint, all we have is this unknown character who's, like, thrown them into this scenario.
So and then immediately
died. We have literally nothing to go on.
Yeah.
So, why did Virgil believe in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
This could be an alternate universe where they're being sent to, like, learn a lesson so they don't break the Earth. Or they could be, like, sent into the future so that they know what to come back and fix. Like, what, like, we have...
Why would the Kree send the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents to the future to stop the Kree?
Assuming he's Kree.
If we're assuming he's
unless
Kree.
Unless he's a Skrull.
I'm saying he's not Kree. I'm also, since you're the science expert.
I'm not a science expert.
Is Wibbly Wobbly Timmy Timey an actual scientific theory?
No, that is a term.
The technical term,
oh,
yes.
Technical. I was just making sure.
That is a term in reference.
You see it in the chat and just very confused?
No, that's a Doctor Who reference. I was just wondering if that's...
Wibbly, no, so...
When I write my thesis on Einstein, I want to make sure that space-time theory...
It's just something that Doctor Who fans use to explain... Like, when time travel doesn't make sense, which it often doesn't, you just say it's wibbly-wimey, timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah, it was from the episode Blink, and it was used to just hand-wave.
It's just like, look, don't worry about all the plot holes involved in time travel, except this one thing, and then we're going to move forward.
Speaking of which, I like how when Mac brings up, maybe we're still in the mainframe,
and then everyone's like, no,
I'm not going to think about that. Like, that's my favorite.
It's like my head's gonna explode. Yeah.
That's my favorite explaining away. Like, we're just not gonna, guys. We realize that it's a possibility. We're telling you, this is not the main. Like,
I
love it.
That was the writers being like, that's not this.
I loved Mac in this episode. Mac was so on point in this episode, talking about the framework and doing my favorite thing and telling everybody, no, we are in a horror movie scenario. We are not splitting up.
Well, and they all just like creeping through the hall. Stacey's got her hand out. Like,
seen Mac and Maze, like how they both, because Mac's like, when we're done, I'm quitting. This is BS. Like, we don't have any downtime. I think he said, like, I'm not okay with the amount of time we get in between crazy adventures.
Trials and tribulations.
Like, I'm not okay with it. And then May's like, we in space? Coulson's like, yep. She's like, okay.
Cool. Like, that's it.
Like, I thought you were going to say your favorite thing he did was all of a sudden speak Spanish. Because he learned it in the framework.
Because Hope School, you had to learn Spanish.
Brilliant. Because there was a lot of these little Easter eggs of current political movements. For example, that in the framework, people spoke Spanish because clearly that's a trend linguistically in the United States. Things like silence is compliance, which was the basis of the society in a lot of ways, is that people were just silent, even though they outnumbered the Kree as far as we could tell. It's just the Kree provide for us, and we just try to survive.
Here's a question. Go ahead.
Well, that's what we're leaning towards now, and that was just very exciting for me to watch.
Now, talking about people's metrics, and like literally that's the thing that the Kree use to keep track of everybody and let them know when this thing called the renewal needs to happen.
Some Logan's Run stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Some Hunger Games.
It's like some Purge.
Well, it was based on their principle. They had a specific a life earned
is a life saved, or something like that.
A life earned, a penny earned.
Here's the question: is this a Logan, like, basically, if they hadn't killed, you know, when the thing turns red, if they hadn't actually killed somebody, would the metric have killed them, like, battle royale style?
I think that's kind of the implication, or the Kree would.
Yeah, like they just come and like
punish everyone.
Yeah.
It seems to be the concept is that everyone gets punished or just a few.
Well, I think it's that you will, like, if you don't kill someone, you're going to die. If you don't do it yourself, like, the Kree will do it for you. And you have to keep up, like, with society, like you have to keep there's like
you have to keep earning.
Yeah,
it's
your, I don't know if it's like some just I don't know if that's like credits, like of. Money, or if it's like a
like a productivity.
Like yeah, like it's like a no, it's because we can't explain either one
because it's either money or it might be like one of those like social media trackers. Yeah, like,
you don't have enough followers, guys. You're
pitching a Black Mirror episode.
Like, you did your job, so you get like 5 points.
Yeah,
but you like over 8, so you lose 10. Like, it's like some weird social control.
Well, yeah. We're saying that, and once again, it mirrors which is what's real going on in China.
In a couple I was about to
just specifically passed that where it's basically a citizenship award, and if you don't keep up with your score, you will be punished in some way.
And you get points for like
we say
supporting
we
your political
here.
Party or stuff like that.
It's called bullying. Welcome to the real world.
Welcome to the real world, little kid.
Bullies. So talking about sort of the society on the lighthouse, we get introduced to a couple of characters. We get this awesome looking Kree female soldier named Sinara.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love you.
Again, I think it's safe to say we're all in love. Yeah.
She's constantly juggling
balls. We all
balls.
Know. I'm in love. You guys like her.
I actually really love the score they gave her.
I'm not ready to settle down with her yet. I
agree with that. You don't need to. Taran, you don't know her values.
Yeah. She's very.
You don't know her values. You don't know her hobbies outside of killing people.
And
And ball juggling.
She does the thing with the balls, and that's
now is that a impressive. Stress thing or
no? But it reminds me once again of Guardian of Galaxy with the whistle arrow thing.
Yep.
It seems to be a very similar technology.
Yeah, that's probably they were like, oh, we got a blue person. Let's give them a thing they have. Yeah.
But we also get introduced to this. I suppose the head person on the lighthouse.
You
or
will respect Cassius.
The man who seems to be in charge, Cassius. When I first saw him, I was like, I'm kind of getting an Admiral Thrawn sort of vibe from this guy, but I don't
know. Just because he's blue, Megan.
Yeah,
I thought you were bigger
I'm a
than
racist.
That.
There. No, but because.
I knew it.
But because he seems to have an appreciation for the finer things. That's where my comparison went. Gosh, Zach, way to jump to conclusions.
he seems. My thing is like, I don't know what the Kree are getting out of this situation. Like, I don't know why he is there. I don't know what he's getting out of this. I know they said what they want is submission, but that's not something you can really measure. Like, I don't know what the Kree are getting out of this. I feel like these Kree are probably a splinter, because that's a lot of things that the Kree do. They split off quite a bit.
Can I postulate a guess?
Yeah.
I mean, Earth is the planet where, you know, they had their whole Inhumans project.
Sure.
And granted, I will be completely honest, I have not had the chance to watch Inhumans yet, so I don't know if they touch on this
really
at all.
Oh my, you haven't watched Inhumans?
I know, I'm such a fake geek girl, I'm so sorry. But
I didn't even finish it. Just spare yourself. Spare yourself.
But
read a wiki.
Point being
page.
Is that, you know, Earth was the Kree's Inhuman project, and they tried to deal with it in a number of ways. Maybe after an Inhuman destroyed the Earth, they felt like, at least way back then, it was some, like, oh, it's our responsibility to go in and sort of sweep up this mess.
That does not sound very Kree-like.
I don't know,
they would just
man.
Be like, oh, well, experiment failed.
Yeah,
moving on.
They would probably
unless
destroy
it's
Earth
punishment
if they knew.
For Cassius. See, we're all assuming that Cassius
is that's
there
what I'm thinking.
As a reward, but maybe he's thrust into the situation because you've done something to earn.
That's what I'm thinking.
Earned
as well,
this punishment, and now you must be with the me.
You crossed the line. You crossed the line. You get to be king of the ashes.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it still begs the question of like, but why to all this? Like, what are like? If are they like harvesting something
we're
for
on
him?
Episode two,
are they
Zach,
getting
like? By,
well, no, but these are the
two.
Questions that I'm asking.
Sure,
right now.
And
it's
it should
like,
be.
So it like, or is there some energy? Are they are they still finding Inhumans amongst these people? In which case, they're like the Inhumans having turned out to be somewhat of a success in terms of warriors.
I don't think they're finding Inhumans because we found no warriors, except they did mention something about Mac going to the crater and fighting, which reminds me of when the X-Men went to the moon and fought. So it's like, do they have this like gladiator games on the moon?
I mean, Thor Ragnarok did just come out, so.
A very similar type warrior fight game. And I do want to give a shout out to Dominique Reigns, who's playing Cassius, who is a third cousin of mine, and I was very surprised to see him in that role. He was on
This is why
Captain
we can't
America.
Trust Tarak.
Yeah. This is why Cassius. Captain America, first of all, he's a CIA trainer in Captain America, which I thought was a big deal when I saw it in the movie.
That's cool.
And now this.
That's pretty cool.
Excellent. But he tells me all about his little independent artsy
and
movies.
You're like, why didn't you tell me you were in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You were in Daffodil Flowers on the Bloom? Yeah, I don't watch that.
I loved Daffodil Flowers on the Bloom. I thought it was fantastic.
Sure. Movie
it made
of the
me
year.
Cry. There were no flowers in it.
Not a single one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. These are all questions that hopefully will get answered soon. Because it's part of, like, the narrative process. Is like, we need to know what we are fighting against or what we are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And, like, we just don't... Whenever anyone asks that question in the show, they just get answered with survive. Mm-hmm. Like, we get introduced to Tess in the second, and, like, she is Virgil's friend, but there's, like, some...
he was clearly interested, but she's like, you were
which
crazy.
Which kind of lends to your theory that Virgil's Fitz's descendant, because his bloodline is cast to be in these hopeless relationships. That is one of the things that kind of we were talking about that frustrated me about this episode, is it feels like every season Gemma and Fitz get separated from the team.
Yeah.
And it feels like every season there is a Deus Ex Machina or just a writing thing. They write someone away from the team, and it's almost always Gemma and Fitz. And it's just kind of like, we've seen this before.
Gemma stranded from the team so often.
Yeah.
And like
she's like, I'm used to this.
And Elizabeth Henderson always does a fantastic job with it, acting wise, but
absolutely,
that doesn't mean we need to do it again. Like, we've seen her deal with Maveth.
Yeah.
We've seen her deal with being stuck in the framework by herself for a while.
When she was in Hydra for a little bit.
Yeah, like ever since season 2, this has been a reoccurring plot line.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a bad plot line, but come season 5, when we see it again, it's like, I hope this doesn't last for more than like 2 episodes, because this is starting to get a little repetitive. Also, not to mention that Cassius totally seems to have a thing for her, and that's super gross and unsettling.
Yeah, he's inserted a crazy domination device.
Well, is it gross because he's blue, and you don't think that blue people?
Oh my goodness!
It looks like he's got mercury in her ear.
You guys heard it here first. Tehran is hashtag Blue Lives Matter.
I have no idea.
Everything here.
I'm not even a part of this.
Please don't fall. Please don't fall.
He's inserted this weird domination device into her where the only thing she can hear is his voice, and that's it. Like, he put the silver mercury in her ear, and the only thing she's allowed to hear is his voice.
She couldn't hear his voice in the beginning, so is she regaining her hearing?
When he wants her to hear. She can hear what he wants her to hear. He
I
has
need
complete
some of
control.
This stuff. I need some of the stuff. This is why I just fall in love with these villains.
Ron
wants to give it to his
Tehran.
Audience,
they
so
amazing.
They can't, like,
we can't hear anyone else.
I really worry about you, Tehran. but let's talk about Daisy for a minute, because supposedly, when she goes to track down where Deke has gone, she finds that he created the framework, and that's what's basically being used to keep the population at large complacent.
Yeah.
And he basically is the one that puts two and two together and makes the assumption that Daisy is the one that destroyed the world. Now, do we think that's correct, or do we think it's something else? Because as we saw earlier this week, a little thing called the Infinity War trailer dropped. It's just the most watched trailer of all time.
If it's something else, then it's lazy writing. Like, you wouldn't put a red herring like that up front, like, and add all of this tension and stakes. Like, now Daisy is going to be like, I destroyed the world. All of this tension and all of this kind of guilt put on her character, only to have it written off where it's like, oh no, he was wrong. It was something completely different.
They did. They, like, set up this, like, everybody has their own version of the story.
Yeah.
But I guess that was just to deflect. It just feels weird that, like, you have this giant, like, and I wonder if they were sent to the future because they needed to avoid being in the world where Infinity War is going to take place.
That might be it, yeah.
But there's so many, like, there's so many world, I don't like when the entire world is threatened in a show like this because we've done it so many times. Sure. Like, the whole world at stake is sort of a boring plot line. I want it to be more personal. I want personal stakes. I want Daisy to be dealing with, like, family stuff. Like, I'd rather her have,
you're
like,
a bad
problems.
Person. I just want to let you know. What is Daisy? You want to be worried about someone? It should be this guy.
Well, no. What he's saying,
I want Daisy's family to go through hardship.
No. What Zach is saying is, like, when you're using that as a device. Like, world-threatening things, we've seen it so much in media that it no longer holds the stakes that something more personal. Where, like, if Daisy was worried about her dad, like, we see how that personally affects her. When we see that Daisy is destroying the world, that's so huge.
But we don't know if that's not a stake. We don't know what's going on with Fitz. So we don't know if Fitz is at stake. All we know is that Ontario...
He wrote a postcard that somehow got however far into the future we are.
Yeah.
And that's going to play a huge part.
Absolutely.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's got to.
So and it'll be interesting, like, how they do it and, like, who is behind all this. Zias B. Liu in the chat has this awesome list of, like, they're going to have to... the big battle have to be somebody the movies have no use for.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a bunch of people on this list, but I love that they throw out the Beyonder. Shuma Garath, and Ex Nihili. Who is... Ex Nihili is, like, this guy who, like...
Giant gold moon boy.
Yeah, he can, like, go, like, basically, like, just, like, terraform a world, like, bring it to life. He's like a walking monolith from 2001.
I'm all for Shuma Gorath, personally.
No, at this point, with all these threats, I would just be like, you know what, guys? Here, have the planet. Like, what do you want with us at this point?
Well, also, the lighthouse seems like that falls in line with Sword and Shield,
which
naming stations.
We sort of got a little wink to the camera. We sort of got a little wink to the camera when Yo-Yo mentions, don't you guys have, like, some sort of other organization, like spear or something? Yeah. And it's like,
Sword.
What are the odds that we're going to see Sword by the time the...
I think they've been clear that it's not.
Yeah.
Does Coulson know about Sword?
I don't think so. In the comic books,
if it even exists in this universe,
In the comic books, no one knew about Sword, and then, like, Abigail Brand's like, "Yeah, we were secret."
Wasn't there a nod to Sword in the end of the last episode?
We just speculated.
We all made the assumption.
Why the hell would we be in space?
Unless
and like, I'm more confused now than I was at the end of last season.
I feel like Abigail Brand might be, and Sword may, like, they do a lot of stuff with the X-Men, so I'm not sure
I think we, like, people uncovered that, like, she was available for the MCU.
Yeah, because she dated Beast, right?
She dated Beast for a long time. And, like, they did a lot of, like, War of Kings and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's a case where both companies technically would have the rights to... like.
So one of them would be called Brand and the other would be named Abigail?
No, well, they don't get half the name. Yeah. No, but, like, where they can... like, it's just like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yeah,
where, like,
that's
there's
what
a certain amount of, like, you have rights... You both have the right to use this character. Whether you both are going to is a different story.
Or the Skrulls, where... MCU has the rights to the alien Skrulls, but I think Fox has rights to all of the named Skrulls. So, like, Peibach, the Power Skrull, Killer, the Super Skrull, all of them are Fox.
You know what's funny? Because there's a lawyer who's like, I went to Harvard for this?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's just a lawyer who's got to go through and be like, okay, the guy...
Okay, so Super Skrull, yours.
Everyone else.
I disagree. I think there's a lawyer like, this is why I went to law school.
This is why I went to law school.
Everyone made fun of me for reading those comic books.
I got this. Yeah,
He's pulling down those Disney Fox dollars.
I don't imagine Thurgood Marshall thinking this.
I did have a former coworker who started working for business affairs for one of the cartoon networks that's out there right now. And so she was like, do you know much about this? And I was like, oh yeah, this show's good. This show's good. And she's like, how do you know?
Because I watch them every day from morning until night.
It's fine. But we are running a little short on time. So I do want to ask about Tess and Grill and Deke, these new characters that we are introduced to. How much do you guys think we can actually trust these guys? Because Grill makes it pretty apparent that he'd leave them out to dry pretty quickly.
And I mean, so as Deke has also kind of showed that, like, as long as he's getting paid. But I agree with you, he's like the Han Solo archetype.
I actually have a lot of faith in Deke. Deke seems to have a very human connection to something, and especially to this,
he seems
this
to
cult
have lost
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
something.
Seems to have lost someone. And I think that that's going to play a much bigger part back in 4 or 5 episodes, where you look back and you're like, oh, his mom or his loved one was a true believer in Deke.
Yeah.
Followed, and then something.
And then something terrible happened.
Or she's
true
believers. We don't know. Yeah. Like, it's something.
Eaten by a roach, or wasn't so lucky in whatever renewal happened. And that's another thing is, like, how often do these renewals actually go?
I wonder if it's the village situation where Earth is fine. And, like, the Kree are just lying to everyone in humanity. And
that
saying,
was actually,
like,
something I was going to bring up.
Oh, it's all fake?
This image of Earth is actually real.
I think it's real. I think it's real in this future, and they need to save Earth.
I'd be pissed if it wasn't real.
As would I. They would have to do some sort of real hard writing in order to make it not cheesy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is being said... Earth, the way it is right now, does not physically make sense.
From a science perspective, that doesn't... No.
But it is a very...
Because it has an atmosphere.
Yeah, it looks like there's an atmosphere.
There's still water.
There's water.
Sure, but you also still have Kree technology. So what they specifically said was... It's not fit for humans. They didn't mention Kree.
No, they said roaches took it.
Sure, they said the roach, but they didn't say it's not meant for anyone else. Maybe Kree came, tried to save the place, didn't work out, kept some atmosphere.
I guess they could have put like a atmosphere generator around that one little section.
Yeah,
but it's not like it's just like red all over and like the Earth, like the planets.
What did you call
it? Blew
tiddly,
it up.
Tobbly, wobbly, wibbly. Can it be one of those?
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Look, you could science this away in like two lines of dialogue.
I'm just saying,
I
don't know how water is staying on the surface. And not floating away.
It's possible. And granted, I don't think it really matters, but it is possible that the Kree are utilizing what's left of Earth for their own purposes.
Yeah.
Either, I don't know, to exploit their natural
resources. Well, they are mining something because they keep sending the trawler out and people are owing something when they come back to...
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's... We got to figure
that
out.
So we have to see... What are they mining? Where are they getting this stuff? Where is this... You know, mineral that they need. What is it?
Yeah.
Is it unobtainium?
Oh, I bet it's unobtainium. you know what that one plastic... Here's the reason why you can't go to Earth. You know that one piece of Earth that, like, you can't get to? It's Wakanda. It's just like the Kree gave up. They can't take it over. They're like, don't go near there. Anyone who tries to invade Wakanda fails. It's just...
Spectacular.
That's what it is. That's my running theory.
That's why it's a vibranium atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a vibranium atmosphere. They have the scientists to keep that together. Like, yeah, it's what
I didn't see a lot of black people on the station. I'll say that.
That's true.
I didn't see a lot of black. I saw one black Kree servant, and that was about it. No.
Yeah.
And just him and Mac.
That's it.
About it.
It was a her. It was a her.
Oh,
actually.
That's right.
Yes, it was nice. Wonderful. The Rosa Parks of Crease Hermits. I don't know. She was just there, and then, you know.
That's an amazing fan fiction.
We just talked fan fiction. We're going to have to steer away from that. So we've talked a lot about, you know, the lead up to the future. We've talked a lot about the lighthouse. Is there anything else really that we want to touch on before we kind of talk a little bit of news and gossip? Because I do want to talk a little bit about the Infinity War trailer.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like some... This episode is nice because it kind of... I think it was very successful in reminding us. It's been a year since we've seen S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's been a bit.
And it was very successful in reminding us, like, the character dynamics, who everyone was. Like, Mac was super Mac in this. Coulson was very Coulson.
And they,
Daisy was very Daisy.
They did a good job of, like, being like, hey, remember how we did this? Remember how we did this? Yeah, which was, like, a nice refresher.
I think it was very successful. It might be sounding like we've been complaining about this episode. I'm not I think it is a good episode. I'm excited to see what is going forward, which that is very successful with this episode, where I'm like, I want to know what's next. We're asking all these questions because we're excited to see how they explain all of this stuff. And I think this episode was super successful. And, like, man, there were some really good character moments for everyone in this episode, where it's like, that is a classic May moment. That's a classic Simmons moment, except for Fitz, because we didn't see him. But
Even in it.
Yeah.
They didn't even show him in the diner.
Yeah. But because of that, it made it, like, other shows, this would have not been a very good episode. But because we know these characters so well, and because the writing of these characters is so consistent, they can take us to a space station or a framework or, you know, a place in Tibet, and it still feels like we've got these characters there. It might not feel like a spy show still, but it still feels like we've just taken these characters and put them somewhere
else. But
that's
just because they're really bad spies.
They are bad spies.
Hey guys, all we need you to do
is blend in.
So what does Gemma do? The first chance she gets, she does the opposite of blending in every single way possible.
All of them
even
are
when
bad
people
at
start gasping, she's like, I need, hello.
Well, like, that's not even counting when they actually start dropping the food off. They're just gawking. They're like, oh, what's going on?
Every other person in the room is charging for this area, and they're just off the side, like, nah, I ate. I'm good.
I eat all the time. Yeah. Was just eating pie before I got here. Yeah. Pie? We've never heard of pie.
Yeah, they're the worst at blending in with their environment. They're like James Bond, who just goes around like, I'm 007, a secret agent.
You are the worst secret agent.
You say a different name. Just any name.
Call yourself Charles Smith.
His biggest James Bond's biggest catchphrase is outing his secret name. Identity. Yeah. but to the point on Fitz, do you guys have a theory on why he was left behind?
I think maybe because of his things he did in the framework. Like maybe
his feeling of, like, guilt and, like, his, like, he's dark and, like, brooding
good,
right now.
A good chunk of what...
Evil.
Yeah. He wasn't on the list.
A good chunk of what Deke seems to know about the world does come, I think, in large part
from the framework.
Yeah. And I was actually going to bring this up, was that... I'm wondering how, talking about how Gemma and Fitz are often, you know, torn apart, Fitz being isolated from the rest of the team right after, like, sort of having to come to terms with the fact that he was basically a supervillain for half the season. He was straight up a supervillain for a good long while and now has been removed from his friends again. How does that affect somebody who's left behind on Earth? With all the crazy stuff that's going on Earth, and is he going to resort to supervillain means of being able to get his friends back? Because we know he's working on it, whatever that means.
I mean, I'm interested to see some people I've seen on Twitter, like, is he one of the elders that they've referred to? Because we don't know. Like, they referred to this group of people that's an elder.
Yeah.
We don't know how far in the future this is. They said 90 years, but that's 90 years since the Earth was destroyed.
Yeah.
Which I guess is, if Daisy's responsible, is, like,
within the next
reasonably within the timeline of now.
Yeah.
So, like, Daisy... So, like, at maximum, maybe 100 years in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is the MCU. Like, they can put a space station up.
Yeah.
Like, Iron Man's around. There's like, they can launch a space station.
They created a sentient robot army. Yeah, like...
They got the tech.
it's definitely not out of
out of the realm of possibility. Yeah.
Somebody was saying that Ian DeCasticker Fitz is shooting a movie right now.
That might be why Fitz is MIA at the moment.
Oh, yeah, there is a movie that's in post production right now,
And it's called Overlord.
Yeah,
Fitz. Interesting.
The only other bit I want to bring up is that the first couple Kree that we're introduced to, I really appreciated like seeing Kree because
cool.
It's been a while since we've had a Kree on screen, let alone multiple Kree.
Why are Kree so heavy?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they were having trouble dragging them.
I think it's difficult to carry any bodies, and these seem to be like a warrior cast.
No. You can carry bodies.
I'm just going to point out that one of the Kree people that they killed, the actor's name is Derek Mears, and he does a lot of stuff here in Los Angeles. The man is very, very tall.
Yeah,
he played Jason
boys.
In the reboot of Friday the 13th. He is a very big man in real life, so that might have just been like
Max isn't a weak guy. No. He was having trouble carrying or dragging them. It seemed to be effort.
Maybe the guy's coat was really heavy.
I liked,
like. They were working in a very cold room.
I like the Chekhov space axe. They very clearly showed the Kree putting his space axe on the side, and it was like
when they threw the shotgun down. Like,
Mac definitely has inhuman powers, but they just are axe related, axe and shotgun related.
I'm just waiting for the moment where he gets a hold of that shotgun and then like just needs to spend time on the lighthouse, going, "I just need some duct tape, guys. Yeah, That's all I need.
That's true. They had a shotgun and an axe in this episode. Yeah. They're just like, "Here, Mac. Here's
your superpowers."
I just want to touch on, once again, a lot of the political innuendos that we saw.
For example,
technology being removed from people.
Yeah.
And
keeping them in the dark.
Keeping them in the dark because knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
And it's something we discussed a little bit about net neutrality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were informing me about exactly what's going on.
This is what happens if they take away net neutrality. You take away your ability to communicate, and suddenly there's blue aliens running around conquering everybody.
Call Logan's the FCC. Run
situation. And there was also another situation where drugs were used to placate people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when asked, do the Kree know? He goes, absolutely they know. Yeah, yeah. In fact, they encourage it.
In fact, he kind of
make it secretive.
He kind of used that to like get them out of jail in the first place. He was like, "I'll make sure you have a good time." We thought, like, what sort of shady under the tail thing are you doing? But he meant framework stuff, as far as we know.
As far as we know. So it's just interesting how, and then the North Korea
comments.
Very blatant
comment
reference,
that was just sit there about the dictatorship.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of things like that. That were placed, and I haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. be this overtly political.
It felt like the framework was
imitated life.
Yeah, the framework was pretty heavy.
The framework and the inhuman kind of following the Muslim ban kind of thing.
I feel like the framework stuff was very on the nose, and not that that's necessarily a bad thing, because clearly we live in a day and age where you need to be on the nose, apparently, about some stuff. But I feel like this stuff, it was a little bit more subtle. It was a little bit more, like I said, I liked the framework stuff, but this was felt a little bit more integrated into the narrative.
I actually thought it was the opposite. I thought the other ones were more subtle because they were, hey, within the confines. But this one, they were just like, yeah, this reminds me of North Korea's dictator.
I agree, that was not a very subtle line.
And that was very overt, and that's why I felt it was more overt in this one, because they, in the framework, they weren't just like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of Trump America. That's not what they did.
I don't know. At one point, Fitz said, nevertheless, she persisted.
Yeah,
that is true. I think it was a mix of both, because I think you're picking up on a lot of like themes that are prevalent in sci-fi in general, but they're bringing it here because they're specifically like pointing to what we're dealing with as a society.
Sure, the obsession
right now
of the dystopian future is always prevalent.
Yeah, and so I think it's a mix of both, because the North Korea line is super blatant and obvious, but like some of the other themes, like the idea that taking away technology is a way to control a populace.
Yeah,
this populace is completely sated. Like they, like you said before, they have numbers.
Well, even
if they wanted to, they could take over, but none of them want
even
to.
Even just
because
the...
they're being fed and they've got their their drugs.
They can't and they don't see, need it. And they also can't see how it would, how they would do it.
Yeah.
They can't communicate about it. They can't organize. Like, they're just, and if they tried to, if they got out of line a little bit, their number goes down, and then they do, what was it called?
Reclamation.
Reclamation.
Yeah. Renewal.
Renewal. And then they get killed.
Not to mention when the two Kree soldiers are killed, Deke freaks out. He's like, you did what?
You killed Kree because they're going to punish everyone, but that's the concept of any protest.
Yeah.
And the fear is, I wish someone would do something about this, and no one looks and goes, wait, I am someone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone's afraid of the punishment. But here's the situation, even politically. You can't kill everybody. And everyone's afraid to be the ones that get killed.
Unless I think you're the Daisy. Blown up Earth would beg to disagree.
The blown up Earth wasn't a political act. No, when it comes to a protest, any conqueror, no matter who the oppressor is, you can't kill everybody. And that's what we've seen in this country when it's come to situations of that. We've seen this across the world. We've seen this even in the Revolutionary War. You just cannot kill everybody.
Like you said, there was a little V for Vendetta thrown
in there. There was, and that's why I thought it was very pertinent to have episodes like this, which plays out in a lot of things that we as a society and as millennials need to be aware of and realize, because that complacency, that being comforted, that, hey, we're being fed just enough, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely, I agree.
I like the dialogue between Deke and Daisy because she is very much trying to incite him to action. And he's like, dude, the earth already burned. What more do you want? Hope is dead.
Hope gets you in trouble.
He's the king of a very sad kingdom.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, I think that just about does it for the episode. Let's talk some news and gossip and talk about the Infinity War trailer a little bit.
Sure.
But also, do you want to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gossip first?
Sure, go for it.
Because there was a big announcement, and I'm not super familiar with this actress, but the internet, like, lit up with, like, a fire.
Yeah. Because
they announced that Dove Cameron is joining the cast. Not in this episode. We haven't seen her yet.
Yeah.
But she will be joining them soon in some top secret role.
Man,
do we think that she's one of the Inhumans that they talked about in the preview?
That's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this episode and I was like, man, it would have been great to have Hunter and Mockingbird here. And instead they wrote them off for the show that never happened.
Yeah. I heard a rumor. That was the other thing in the offseason. Yeah. I heard a rumor that Hunter was coming back.
That'd be fantastic.
I'm hoping
that we get like he this is Fitz? Just a
Hunter and Fitz sideshow.
Hits. Bring the hits. Yeah. I'm hoping that this is just like the first arc of the show, the same way that we had like the Ghost Rider arc and then we moved into the Framework arc. And then we come back to like a more normal spy based S.H.I.E.L.D. and we get Hunter, we get Fitz, we get like all kinds of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dove Cameron, who
people may know
from Liv and Maddie or Descendants.
I guess.
I don't know those things, but you guys do.
Yeah.
So
I really loved the announcement that they made on Twitter because like it was her doing a little video and going like, hey guys, I just wanna, you know, tell you, and like Coulson comes up and he's just like, no, and she's like, oh, okay.
Oh, I was wrong. The chat's real upset. It is confirmed that Hunter is coming back this season.
Okay, yes! Absolutely. Great.
I'm pretty sure that Adrian Palicki is... She's off in a different part of space.
Yeah.
So Mockingbird's not coming back because she's off captaining a starship with Seth MacFarlane.
Great. And Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we won't be seeing Kanan getting tired soon.
You never know.
Yeah. You never
know. He only has to pop in for like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, guys, that's all fantastic. Let's go ahead and delve into the Infinity War trailer a little bit.
Damn, it's a good trailer.
It is so cool. Initial thoughts.
That the trailer was better than the entire Justice League movie and universe. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you said it out loud.
I apologize to
Warner Brothers. Please do not.
apologize to Wonder Woman, because that was a good movie. But
Wonder Woman is amazing.
It was very good.
And I thought, even when the Wonder Woman little music comes on, I get a little excited.
You're like, aw.
Yeah. It was nice to see a heroic hero.
But yeah, the thing about, and I talked about this a little bit with a friend of mine, but like the thing about looking at Infinity Infinity War versus Justice League is that Infinity War has been a 10-year buildup. Because, well, the first Iron Man came out in 2008, and Infinity War will be out in 2018.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 10-year.
Well, no, because Feig has been planning it since, like, 2004.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but for the audience.
Yeah. For the audience, it's been 10 years since the first film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe came out.
But Justice League, the universe, is just not... good. I'm sorry.
It was
the TV
rushed.
Shows are fun.
Yeah.
We could play this Marvel vs. DC game all day.
You guys Let's can just like talk Justice League if you
guys
like.
Liked in the actual trailer.
Can I just say that even though it was only a brief second, seeing the mind gem ripped out from Vision like was heart-wrenching, and I'm so upset by it.
I think it's so cool to see that Hawkeye's stealth suit is working so well. we didn't see him at all.
Dude, I found the biggest TV I could, and I still couldn't find Ant-Man in those shots.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's in the microverse.
Yeah.
I like that we get confirmed that Spider-Man has Spidey sense.
Yes,
that was
lovely.
We get the hair standing up.
Yeah, that was a nice like visual of just like, obviously it was going to exist, but like I like the way that that they're choosing to display it.
Instead
like,
of lines around his head.
I would have been on board for that too.
Me too.
My only complaint about this, and it's not even a complaint about the trailer, is that Infinity War is broken up into two movies. And I just hate when they do that.
The thing. I think that was a misconception in the way that they initially promoted it.
Yeah.
And it's not Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, because they didn't even... The second Avengers movie that's coming out as part of this isn't Infinity War.
Yeah.
It is going to have a completely different name that they haven't told us. Like, they've been specific.
Okay,
we can't tell
goodness.
You because it's a spoiler. Like, the title of the second
like
movie
Avengers,
is
Avengers, not Infinity War.
It's
Avengers,
almost,
everyone
no
is
way,
dead.
There's no I'm way guessing, it's not new Avengers.
I'm guessing it's Avengers Dissembled.
Like, Dissembled?
Yeah.
Like, awesome.
It could be. I mean, it's a book, but like
it's a book that already exists, and it was from a different event.
But if they were to say that's a huge spoiler.
Iron Man alive in that? Because I don't know if Iron Man makes it out of this.
Well, in the Infinity War comic book, everyone dies save for a few like ground level people. Almost everyone dies, and then it gets magic. It gets timey-wimey away.
Which
is probably what we're gonna get.
Except for the actors whose contracts are up.
Yeah. In Dissembled, he is still alive. I think what we're looking at is like it's going to end and it's going to be sad. It's going to be the Two Towers ending. It's going to be we don't know what's going on. Everyone's separated and either dead or dying.
I don't think there's any way Steve Rogers makes it out of that movie.
Nah, I don't think Loki makes it out. I don't think Steve Rogers makes it out.
Who are you people? I don't think Santa Claus is real. Listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, okay. Speculation
we're
is what we do.
We're speculating.
Can we speculate as where the Asgardians were when Earth was being ripped apart? And
we're well, going we to dig right into that because a little bit of Infinity War was shown at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And it featured Thor running into a group of silly space people, which the trailer's out. So, like, we know Thor basically runs into the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And
so.
Yeah, the hell are you guys?
And at the end of Ragnarok, we see that the Asgardians are... like,
spoilers, BT-dubs.
Oh, yeah, guys, spoilers if you haven't seen Ragnarok. Go see it just for the soundtrack. It's amazing.
Big old spoiler warning
for
the post-credits.
At the end of Ragnarok, we see that the Asgardians that are still alive are kind of like in a life raft, spaceship. So we don't know. Like, they're drifting around trying to find...
I thought they end up on Earth in the Netherlands.
That's kind of where they were going.
But, you know...
But who knows?
Then Thanos shows up.
Yeah.
Good old Thanos.
That guy. Although, not even going to lie, that this is an aside. When I was watching Thor Ragnarok, as Hela's doing her thing, I was like, why are we waiting for Thanos? I'm in love.
Well, the theory is that Thanos might be in love with her as well.
Because she's the goddess of death.
Yeah. It'd be great to give her some more to do. But, like, in this trailer, like, what I love is like there's so many pieces of like what this story is going to be like. I love the little teams that we have built up.
Yeah.
I got weirdly like I'm more excited than I ever thought I would for like Stark and Strange to team up.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the two of them being together, I'm like, why not?
Let's
do that.
Let's get a goatee
it's
off.
Okay, we're still your friends. We love you.
I like how much character they gave Thanos. Like, he gets that line where he's like, I didn't think conquering the universe was going to be fun or something like that. He's like, but this is going to be very interesting.
This does put a smile on my face. Punches Iron Man.
Yeah. And it's like, why not have a villain with character? Why not give him...
DC.
I'm
so sorry. I'm bitter because I paid money to see that movie.
Not just jumping out of a portal in the sky and being like, this is for mother. And then like, I'm going to fight you guys.
Yeah. But they gave him so much character in just those lines, and it's like, you know what? I never thought the giant purple fork chinned guy would look cool on the screen, but he looks really cool, and he looks intimidating. Like, and we see that he's
been memed to death at this point, but it still looks good.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited, and I know it's gonna probably make me cry because it's going to kill everything
I
love.
It looks intense. It doesn't look like a lot of people have been like complaining that like Marvel is like light, a little too light and like fluffy. I'm like, whatever. It's superhero movies. Calm down. But this is gonna it's the finale, as Kevin Feige called it. Like this is the finale of the first it's the third phase of the MCU. It's the big first three arcs, and like it's not gonna end. Like at least,
but Feige said he has 20 other movies planned.
Yeah,
yeah.
That sounds exhausting. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Like
we're gonna be 60. Look, they gotta when this show be.
But if they're doing 3 year, that's only 6 or 7 years out. And like every production, every movie studio has like at least a rough idea of what they want the next 10 years.
At least for their tentpole stuff.
And so that's gonna include like the two next Spider-Man movies and Captain Marvel and Black Panther. Well, that's not including the 20, but Black Panther 2, I'm sure is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can't wait for that movie.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, like, it looks like there's going to be a battle for Wakanda, which looks really cool.
Dude, they have the Wakanda army going to bat with those weird, like, alien four-armed
Fisticons,
dudes. Like, are those like Chitauri? No, those are.
I think they're called the Runners. They're last time he came and he had like his Black Order, they had like these kind of scout things that would like go, and I remember one of them like snuck into and tried to kill Black Bolt, and like he killed it, and it failed, and it got to die. Like all of Thanos's people at that time worship death. So like the ultimate reward for their actions was to die. And like I feel like if they establish that kind of Black Order, which we know we're going to get, you know, Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight.
Yeah,
and like
we saw at least Proxima.
We saw Proxima throw a spear. I think Corvus Glaive is the one who's taking the Mind Stone. It looks like the end of his glaive. He's named after a glaive, and he has a glaive.
Well, if you're named that, you better be
good with it.
You're just like, well, I gotta learn to use this one thing really well.
I have a gun. That doesn't seem very on brand. Well, it's really useful.
There were people talking about, like, because, like, is Cap going to have... Because he's not going to have his shield. Like, is Wakanda going to have generated the little force one that he... Or, like, the energy field one that he has in the comics for a while? To which I said, shield already got
shield
one
already
of those.
Did that.
Coulson's running around with it in his spare hand.
Now,
which he doesn't have.
I feel it's safe
poor
to
old
assume...
Coulson's hand.
That it breaks my heart, but I feel like it's safe to assume that none of our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. folks are going to be making cameos.
Yeah.
No, that is not even a question.
But
at
I think we will get what's her name, Robin from How I Met Your Mother,
Maria Hill.
Maria Hill. Forgot Maria Hill's name.
I'm pretty sure that she's going to be in this. I can't remember if it's confirmed or not. I feel like it was.
I think, since Fury is still dead, then Hill would still be the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. going forward. If S.H.I.E.L.D. exists.
If Coulson doesn't
going to say the word S.H.I.E.L.D. anywhere in that movie. Because it's if you even acknowledge S.H.I.E.L.D., it's going to get so messy between the show and Winter Soldier and like whatever Fury's been doing. Because he's technically in retirement.
Yeah.
So I feel like that just about does it.
I think they're going to say shield. I just want them to
know. It would be nice to get a little nod, but I understand.
Black Panther says, get this man a shield.
That's true. I do think by the end of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there will be, because it's going to come up right into the spring, right before Infinity War. I have to think somehow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to lead into Infinity War in the way that it did Civil War.
Well, and Age of Ultron.
And Age of Ultron more than Civil War. Yeah.
Well, guys, that just about does it for tonight. It's been fantastic coming back to talk about the show. I have missed it. And I want to thank all of you guys on Twitter who have been asking about it, because it shows that you care.
Yeah.
It means a lot to us. So thank you guys so much. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
Well, first of all, in case you're listening to this later and you're like, where can I watch live? When can I watch live? Go to AfterBuzz TV's sci-fi, fantasy, and superhero channel on YouTube, where we are live every Sunday at 5 p.m. after the episode airs. That's literally as fast as we can get in, because it airs on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys. I like to sleep on weekends a little bit. Just a little.
Yeah. Also, the studio isn't open.
Yeah. So that complicates things. But yeah, 5 p.m. Pacific time every Sunday. You can keep up with me throughout the week. Tweet me all your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reactions at that Zach Wilson. Find me on Instagram, all the places. THATZACHWILSON. And tomorrow night at AfterBuzz, we're going to be finishing up our binge-style show of the Punisher, talking about the last 6 episodes of Netflix's Punisher run.
Nice.
Taron. Right.
I am Taron, literally at I am Taron all across the board, and I will never eat pie at a diner again.
Just
don't sit at the bar.
You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at Jess Klein 1. That's JessKlein, the number 1. I will definitely eat pie again.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. And I will exclusively eat pie, especially if it's pecan pie. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out season 2 of The Shadow Radio Recreation, where I do the voice of Margot Lane. Thank you guys so, so, so much for watching. We will see you all next week.
Daisy, I love you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.